I was in a desperate situation.
The bayou type stuff.
Get out of my house.
Wakoto Tiles back in style.
Why do you feel bad about it? Well, you stop it. It sounds like a circus.
That's weird. I was freaking out.
It's like an insurance claim. It sticks with the house.
It went terribly wrong. Scenes go and I'm like...
Extortion.
Real estate is crazy.
It is crazy. Welcome back. Real estate is crazy. I'm David Hagigi, and this is Christina Smith. Johnson? I said her name
Christina
for
Smith.
Her. Yeah, that's Christina Smith.
Yeah.
And we have Ryan Gaines.
Yeah.
Hey,
Ryan Gaines moving and hauling. This guy is a very entertaining guest.
Yeah. I think I got to let people know that, like, because we haven't done this, that the podcast is about the crazy experiences in the real estate field. We've had a lot of realtors, but Ryan's not a realtor.
There's no limits. We're not limiting to real estate agents. The stories come from all angles.
Yeah.
I've heard some crazy ones from Ryan over the past. That's kind of why I invited him.
Yeah.
I know he's been talking about a couple stories he wants to share, but the truth is we're throwing around all kinds of crazy stuff about divorce and crazy, crazy horror stories when it comes to moving. I think Christina has one.
Yeah. Well, you know, Ryan, tell us what you do. And then that segues into like some of the crazy stuff that happens.
Yeah. So, and I think I'll start off by telling you what I do, but also telling you how I got into it.
Yes.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a story in itself. So, about 2019, I was going through the worst and only divorce of my life.
Ooh.
And I was in some pretty financial, bad, you know, straits.
We've been there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was pretty bad. You know, I gave her everything. I didn't fight for anything and child support and everything else. It put me to a point to where I had to move out of my house and become a roommate. And while I was a roommate for about a year and a half, one of my roommates worked at a Goodwill in Oceanside. And one day she called me because I had this beat up 2003 Dodge Ram 1500.
He still has a Dodge Ram. Yeah. It's not beat up anymore.
Yeah, it's not the same one. It's a 2500 now. But it's because of this story I'm actually about to tell you. So one day she calls me. She's like, hey, what do you... She knew, you know, roommates, we get close after a while. Yeah. We weren't close like that, but we were really good friends. And she knew that I was my circumstances. So I guess in the goodness of her heart, she had a customer at the Goodwill. They just purchased a sofa, this young couple in Oceanside. And they were about to go next door to the U-Haul because the Goodwill on Mission is in a
I know exactly where you're talking about.
So she worked there. And I don't think I should say anymore. But anyway, in case she got in trouble, I don't know if that was... She doesn't work anymore, so it doesn't matter.
So she can't get in trouble there.
Yeah. So she's like, hey, you know, they're about to go pay $19.95 plus this, plus that. You know, I told him I got a friend who could do it for $30. And I was like, bet I'm there. You know, this is going to be my food money.
She was looking out for you, though, giving you the opportunity when you needed it.
$30, keep in mind. Oh, also at the same time.
$30 was a lot of money 3 years ago.
Anyone knows anything about the military, I was a gunnery sergeant, active duty in the Marine Corps at this time, right? Financially struggling, okay?
Yeah.
So $30 was life-changing money at that moment in my time. So I hop in my truck, drive to the Goodwill. I shake hands with the guy, me and him loaded up, and we're driving. Like every Marine does, I kept my uniform, my camouflage uniform, hung up on hangers in the back seat of my quad cab truck. So the guy's riding shotgun. I'm assuming he looks back and he sees the uniform because he asks a question.
It's pretty obvious.
He asks the question, you know, so how long have you been doing this work? And I'm thinking he saw the uniform. And I was like, yeah, at the time, I think it was like 16 or 17 years. And I'm like, yeah, doing about 16, 17 years. He's like, geez, you've been doing moving and hauling for 16, 17 years? And I was like, no.
I explained, hey, if I did that, I wouldn't be talking about my fatigue.
My friend just told me that he was like, no, bro, so this is what you do. And he told me, start posting ads and say, hey, you're a guy with a truck. And I didn't do anything because when you're depressed, people will offer you advice, but you don't receive it in a way you should receive it.
Absolutely.
Nothing seen, unless it's like the fix-all solution that you need in your life, like this.
Which doesn't exist.
Yeah. It didn't seem like it was what I needed. So, but anyway, 3 weeks later, I remembered it and I was like, fuck it, why not? And
Yes.
And I went online, posted an ad on the platform.
What did you use?
I used Craigslist.
Okay.
I posted real simple. I was like, I'm just a dude with a truck. I threw in the fact that I was an active duty Marine, not to like get you know,
no,
like,
for reputability.
But because yeah. I wanted people to know that I have access on and off base, and that gives me a competitive advantage to other people. So if you're on base and you bought a sofa from IKEA, I could bring it to you.
Yep. How does that work? If you're a civilian mover, you can't go on base?
Most times the base will let you go, but there are these rare times where they're not letting anyone who does it. That actually happened recently. Threats happen. So,
sure.
And sometimes people... In normal situations, if the moving company doesn't look, if they look too shady or the guard is really doing his or her job to a T, you're not getting on the base unless you have the right credentials. Yeah. But with me, you don't have to worry about that. So I told him that. So anyway, I posted the ad, and not even 20 minutes later, I got a text. Hey, we just bought this blah, blah, blah from, what's the place? Costco. Mm-hmm. And would you, and I,
so a little bigger budget.
So I was like, I know my value.
You're coming
now.
Up in the
I
world.
Know my value. All right. So, hey, $4, and I waited for his counter offer. He accepted, And I was like, so I made a good deal.
It felt good.
Felt good.
Yeah.
And that would start a process of me not only, first of all, being able to bring money that I needed into my situation.
Side hustle.
Yeah. Where that I'm at now. I got my own house back. I have a couple cars now. I'm doing well a whole lot better.
I see you. See you on social media.
And also, but it allowed me to learn some intangible things that I don't think I would have ever learned. Like my value of what my time, my abilities. Like I've had situations in the past where, and I'll tell this and I'll stop talking. But a customer hired me to come to her house in Oceanside. She had these two stone lion, these lion things.
Those things from the front of the house?
They put at their, it was probably about 2.5
feet. I mean, it's a sculpture.
Almost like a gargoyle.
It's a guard sculpture. Yes.
At the entrance of their walkways by their gates.
Yeah. Right? Yes.
So she needed me to basically.
It deters them, thieves.
Lift them in. Oh, she needed me to basically lift them up. So, thank you. And put them on these stone platforms, right?
Yeah.
So, and I showed up and there's like another guy there, like a, guy my age, because I'm 40. He's about
45. Was she making you compete with him?
No. He said it was too strong. He said
it was too heavy.
It was too heavy. Mm-hmm. And so she hired me to help him maybe with some equipment to pick it up. And I show up and Anna was with me on this job and she came and I looked at it and I was like, is this it? And I just picked it up and just set, they were probably like 200, 250 pounds. They're looking at me and the husband or the boyfriend, he would later come back and say, hey man, it only took you like 10 minutes to do that. Do you really think you should charge us the whole hourly rate?
Oh no.
Like, and I said, of course, because the other 50 minutes that I wasn't here, I was in the gym. So that I can, pick up this and something that I, So, so jobs like that have taught me like I have to value my time and what I bring to the table.
Surprising how few Americans do value their time, and I think that this whole revolution in the employment workforce sector has kind of created a lot of people standing up for what they're worth. But there's another side of it. You can very easily be too expensive or too unattainable for people by standing up for your work too much, right?
Yeah.
And I know my experience with Ryan is that he's a fair provider of services, meaning you get good quality and accountability at not a high price. Yeah.
Well, I asked him too, because my mom, we had her on the podcast. She moved to Texas. She drove all the way out there, but I didn't know she was coming back. So she came back and she went to her house in Palm Springs. And I guess she loaded up a U-Haul and had it full of heavy furniture and brought it to San Diego. And she calls me at 7 p.m. and says, can you help me unload this? I have to return the truck at 10 a.m. I'm like, I didn't even know you were fucking coming to town. I said, who helped you load this?
Well, this is so much better because we know her. The podcast viewers know your mom.
So I said, who in the world even helped you load this thing? She said, the gardeners.
Was she moving like a CIA black site or something?
It was like a heavy couch that has the things that flip up and it's like on me is super heavy.
The gardeners helped her load it.
The gardener, she convinced. She's a shrewd negotiator.
Yes,
if you're ever
we
buying
know.
Real estate with
we
my
know.
Mom, my mom's in it. She negotiated.
Stay away. Unless she's on your side. Yeah, stay away.
She got the gardeners to load the furniture for free. Then I said, well, I can't help you. So I'll have to refer someone. I did have someone that could help, who could show up with three guys to unload it. And the thing is, like,
she wanted you and your kids, and you ended up giving her guys.
Well, they clearly said to her, $100 an hour, 3 hour minimum. He said that was actually
for three guys.
For three guys, yeah. That was a really good price.
That sounds like a good deal.
$100 an hour.
But it also sounds like they're probably going to damage your stuff because it's a little.
Were they licensed? Oh no, he's right. You get what you pay for.
They came. They arrived. They unloaded her stuff. It took them 15 minutes, and then they collected their money and left. And my mom was pissed.
Yeah,
because she was like, "They charged me $300." I said, "Yeah, that's what they said they were going to charge you." And she's like, "Well, I just want you to know the kind of people you're referring that take advantage of an old woman."
Well, you know, she's from a different generation.
Were they clear on what the agreed upon price was?
Signed a contract.
She just expected them to just like, you know, okay, gotcha.
She wanted a little.
I think that labor is one of those things, right? They're seemingly there's a bunch of people around willing to do work for not much money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what's the quality you're going
to
get?
Well, that's right. Are you going to tell them exactly what to do, or do you want them to be able to do it on their own recognizance?
Well, I just moved, and I will never move without Ryan.
Oh, good.
Because I thought that between myself and my father-in-law, my husband, and my 22-year-old son, and a guy that I borrowed from a contractor that I know, that we would move very smoothly, but all my shit got damaged.
People often underestimate any transition, whether it's a divorce in my situation, I underestimated that.
Sure.
Whether it's you're moving from your freshman dorm room to your sophomore apartment, now you're allowed to live off base, or not off base, off campus.
Same idea.
Yeah, you know, whatever the transition is, or how big or small, they are going to be stressful. And a lot of times with moving, I realize that people think that they have done a lot of good planning, but they didn't plan enough to realize like the mental toll that it was going to take. Like when you get to H hour, not D-Day minus three, D-Day minus five, but when you're at actual H hour and it's time to execute this move and you're realizing like, oh shit, I forgot to pack this. And then you're like, oh, what are we going to do about this? And the kids are crying. And then you just got called into work because you got to do this. You need movers who are going to show up.
It's a logistic nightmare.
And be able to understand, not act like this is their first move. Yeah. And one of the things that bothers me when I go on jobs where I'm co-located with other movers, I will see, you know, young, strong guys and sometimes even women. And they're almost like a third or fourth child to the household.
Oh, right? Sure.
What do I do next? What do I do next? What
Meeting
do I do
instructions.
Next? You know, and imagine if you're a mom and you're the husband's at work or whatever, and you're like trying to nurse a kid while the movers are trying to
You've
like
seen this many times.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like you need at a certain point, we need to be able to say, okay, ma'am, sir, what is your end goal? How do you want the end of this day to look when we pack up our truck and drive away?
Yeah.
And let me get you there so you can focus on other things.
You know, it's just comprehensive service. Yeah. It's a service industry, obviously, because even though physical goods are being moved from one location to another, as we just said, there's so many logistics. And it's not just planning, it's executing and having multiple people executing in sequence. I will tell you, I just dealt with people who did not plan their move at all. Mm. I got to, you know, go to their house after it was done. I was surprised they let me in.
Most people don't let plan their move.
But, you know, we have a good relationship and we kind of discussed the potential pitfalls from the beginning. So it wasn't like, oh my gosh, this was thrown on me. Like we just had a unique set of circumstances, right? But it accentuates how much of a service industry it is and how much a computer could never replicate a real person giving that goal-oriented talk, managing expectations, and carrying it to the finish line with some accountability.
Yeah.
Well, there's something to be said too. Like when I think about it, I'm like, I basically for sale by owner'd my move. Like
If you're a real estate agent, you know what that means.
Because, you know, we are experts. We go in, we know when we list a house or we're helping a buyer, it's this boom, 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 boom. And a professional comes in, they do the same thing. I was sitting there like, what do we put in first? Do we put in the bed? Is the mattress going to get dirty? Do we do the table? And
you're
next
an
thing I know, they're shoving my dresser above the couch. No, and I'm just, like, you're going to rip my couch. Yep. And I couldn't, you know, really get you mad because it's, well, I guess I could. It's my son. I could rip him out pretty good. But like I have like
that's the maximum accountability.
The tip of my chair, my dining room chair, is shredded. Like
I give you as a mover, I know I don't put anything into a truck or a container until I have all of it out in front.
That's a massive
hack. So I can see. If I start in the upstairs master bedroom and I pack up your bedroom and I put it directly on the truck, which is what most guys do.
Yep.
And then I go into your garage and I'm like, oh, damn. They have 50 boxes. This would have been perfect to go in there, you know. Or if you're in a trailer, you know you can't put the most of your weight behind the rear axle of the trailer because it makes you fishtail.
Oh.
So you have to load it forward of the trailer because that's some sort of physics things, which I do not know.
No, you figured them out.
I'm not
going to
pretend like I know the math behind it, but you do. You know, there's certain things that movers know that, you know, for sale by owners won't know, and you run into, and that's where you get what you pay for.
I got what I paid for, which is a bunch of damn shit. So now I got to figure out how to paint, use chalkboard paint on my furniture.
You know, there's a couple different schools of thought. I think some people insist on doing their move themselves because they don't feel that their personal property is worth much.
Well, they also don't think, they don't want to spend the money.
That's the hidden cost. That's the cost of new furniture.
Yeah.
Well, even if it is cheap, right? Like, the cost is your sanity more than anything. I really think that this particular discussion, this topic, is so important because I'm seeing some agents mismanage and people are ending up moving twice or, you know, using a pod for an extended few weeks. Like, it can be very challenging. I think what I'm realizing is Ryan's a professional Tetris player, really.
Yeah. Yes. 2022 champions.
National Tetris player. That is the perfect analogy.
Well, what I've always done is just got a truck that was way too big so that I knew I would never have a size issue putting it in. But then I have to fill the spaces and stuff moves around and I end up like strapping it to the sides.
And that matters for the move that you're doing. You know, if you're going from here to LA, a truck that ain't too big is going to be fine if you got some straps, you know, to kind of secure stuff. But if you're going from here
it's
to Utah.
It's
going to
be a soup.
If you're going from here to Utah, you need to have everything secure.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
So, like, all of that matters.
Do you do interstate? Because I got a client moving here from Massachusetts right now.
The furthest I've ever moved someone was to some part of the Valley of Texas, Southeast Texas.
So did you go out and you unpacked it too?
I drove the unpacked it, drove the truck all the way there.
Whoa. I mean, this accountability thing is big because I know most movers that are in that interstate business are referring it. Mm-hmm. And of course, they're going to refer to someone they're confident with, but it's not the same as having the same exact person unload your truck.
No, when it's a big company, my ex-mother-in-law, when she moved out here, they loaded everything into a truck and then it got lost in transition. Turns out, and I don't know why, they stopped somewhere in Texas and they moved all of her stuff into another truck.
Wow.
And it was sitting there and they had to go find it. They finally figured out where it was. Oh. So 2 months later,
it's like lost luggage on steroids.
So one of the things, and I'm glad you brought that up. So one of the things I start telling my customers when I pack them up for a move that's going out of the local area, that I'm not going to be unloading, is that I tell them to get the Apple Air tags, whatever they're called, because I'm a part of a Facebook page that's just for movers, people in the moving industry.
Smart.
And it's like a private group. You have to approve some sort of way that you're in the industry. And before
there's an initiation process.
They're very, very serious about like who they let in this group.
And I love that.
I consider myself fortunate to be a part of it. I've learned some industry tricks and trades that are very, you know, not like scandalous stuff, but, you know, good stuff. So anyway, they're starting to complain about because if you've ever had someone place an AirTag or have one on you, if you have an Apple phone, at least it lets you know, hey, AirTag is following you.
Yes.
Everywhere you go, it lets you know. Yeah. And so these truck drivers are realizing like, oh, these customers have placed the AirTag in my container and they're getting mad.
Oh.
The reason why they're getting mad is because they're lying to customers.
That's exactly.
And they have decades of this traditional conventional wisdom that you're going to tell a customer, I have your goods there by September 18th. Knowing damn well you're going to take a pit stop to go spend 3 days with your family in Atlanta, and you're just going to lie to the customer and say, hey, something happened.
Ooh.
So now it won't be there by the day.
That's spilling the tea right there.
But now I do it in the group. I'm surprised I haven't been kicked out.
But it's movers. It's not.
If you're where you're supposed to be, it won't even matter to you.
The accountability shouldn't be a big deal.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a big deal.
Why should we pay for you to visit your, you know, mistress?
But because they're bulking up costs. They're saving costs by using
And we're torn because some companies and some moving companies, they have a service where you can track they already had it. Like they want you to be there. Full transparency, but there's still a lot of companies who don't want you to track their stuff.
Well, transparency is a thing that's happening on every level. Like now we realize it's very important. The consumers and the people who use the internet are not stupid. Transparency is one of those things that I think has been skirted for a long time. right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then people are going to naturally get into like whatever the situation allows them to do. So over time, you're going to realize like, oh, I can exploit this and no one will ever know. And I think it just naturally happened. I think one day, sometime in 1945, a trucker was like, I could actually stop in Albuquerque right now and no one would be the smartest.
Yeah. And that just snowballed.
Went, it just snowballed into this industry now where it's happened to me.
You can't do it. You can't get away. You can't get away with anything nowadays.
In the military,
you shouldn't be able to.
They pay for our moves. So before I ever was a mover, my whole professional life, I've been the customer, the person that is waiting for this huge truck to pull up on the street.
That's why you're uniquely able to provide the service.
And every single time I had to file a claim because they damaged my stuff. And every single time they showed up later than they said they were going to show up. And I'm talking about months because we lived in Japan. And I'm talking about and everyone who's ever been in the military and PCS to or from overseas, you know, once you say goodbye to your stuff, it's going to be months before you see it again.
Wow.
And it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah.
You know?
So. Yeah, it's kind of silly, especially in a technology age. Like, we can certainly assign barcodes to everything. Yeah,
it doesn't. Everyone's going to be putting AirPods.
So now people are putting AirTags in their stuff. So when they call a company and say, hey, you were supposed to be here 2 weeks ago, and they give you some bullshit about it sitting in storage in Fontana, you can be like, no, it's actually in San Diego right now.
It's just one example.
Five miles from my house. Why are you not here?
NFTs. You know what NFTs are, right?
Non-fungible tokens.
Yeah. I mean, that's the same
monkey
thing.
With the head.
Yeah, yeah. Well, whatever it is, it's something that can't be forged or skirted, right?
Yeah.
Like the chain of events is in stone. It can't go away. And that is the transparency that kind of a currency needs, right?
Yeah.
These kinds of things are going to be more prevalent. You know, expect yourself to be on camera at all times as a real estate agent. I don't understand why some of these agents do what they do knowing they could be on camera.
I mean, I wish there were more things on camera because it would be hilarious.
I mean, no, we just need to get the footage. They are.
Things that happen, you know, when we go see.
This is calling out to anybody who views this. Please send us some clips.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, we want to start talking about more than just our own orbit.
Yeah.
There's a whole country of crazy real estate stuff that happens.
I want to start recording. I know it's highly inappropriate and highly illegal, but I'm never saying I'm going to do this. But sometimes, if I'm being honest, I wish there was a way that I could record, like have a reality TV show, camera crew follow me when I'm on jobs.
So
they could record the stuff that...
All you need is those Ray-Ban glasses with Meta. You know, they teamed up and they got cameras
in
the corners.
Well, you gotta tell us some of the strangest things.
But I swear, like, everyone is going to know about those. And I can't do it anyway.
No. You'd have to do like an upfront disclosure just so you know you're going to be recorded.
I wish I could, though, because I've seen, like I was telling you about the couple.
Oh.
Man, this was like a couple years ago. Me and my son were still, my son who's in the Marines now, Casimir, when he was 17 and 18 years old, he would help me pretty much on all of my jobs. So he's seen a lot of action with me.
I bet.
And and one of the craziest stories, we show up to this job like 1 p.m. to start loading this 26 or 27 foot long Penske truck. And when I'm talking about, when I say 20, it's the biggest Penske truck.
Yeah, the one that's harder to drive.
With the hydraulic lift gate in the back. And the next truck bigger than that is a semi tractor trailer. So we take about 3 hours to load all of their household goods from an upstairs apartment with external stairs with a switchback, a landing, which makes it hard to move stuff.
Yeah. I bet.
And we do all of this and we get it somehow packed in 3 hours, which was amazing in itself. And they're arguing the whole time because they're like this super toxic couple.
Oh,
I don't know.
What I
am aware of is that the little boy who was like 5 or 6 years old is not his son. It's her son. But he's like this really good guy. He's trying to be there for her. He has a good job. She clearly has some issues, blah, blah, blah. And it was just a rough exchange to watch for those hours.
I bet.
And they're going back and forth. She's crying. He walks away. He drives away. He comes back. And then they're like, all right, you know what? They kiss and make up. And then they're like, you know what? Can you guys just unload everything? We're going to work this out.
Oh, my Lord.
So maybe they were separating and one person was moving?
Something. My son at that time was, I think he was 18. I think he had just turned 18. And I remember if you have a child who's 18 years old and you're a parent like me and you've always taught them like, be independent, you know, you're a grown man now.
Yeah.
I was like, if there was ever a time that my son has the right to exercise, I'm a grown man and I ain't got to do what you say and I'm walking. I was like, this is the time that he's going to do it.
You know what, though? Like, that little snapshot of human interaction is probably incredibly valuable for you because, you know, I've seen couples fight a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And I've learned a lot every time. Mm-hmm. I implemented it in my own fights with my wife. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Well, you do learn how to communicate because you watch other people and you're like, ooh.
Well, and all the different relationships dynamics that exist. So I wonder what your son actually learned from that in a big picture sense. Probably some resilience of the fact
maybe
that
maybe not to get married.
You know, you could pack the whole truck up and still it's not over until you know.
Yeah. When he just graduated Marine Corps boot camp a few months ago, almost 3 months ago.
Congratulations.
And I remember I asked him, you know, was there anything about me being your dad? Because I was a Marine. And what I was like, was there anything be about, you know, because I had tons of conversations with him while he was waiting to go to boot camp about what to expect. And I was trying to make sure he didn't go through what I went through, which was complete trauma and shock when I went to boot camp, you know.
Okay.
I knew he was going to go through it no matter what, but I was trying to mitigate it as much as possible.
That's smart.
And so I asked him and I was like, and I thought he was going to tell me, you know, because I was a gunnery sergeant of Marines with 21 years in the Marine Corps. I thought he was going to tell me that, like, one of the many conversations that I had with him or just being raised by a Marine, you know, regimented life helped
him.
You know what this boy told me?
I want to know.
He said, being on jobs with me, moving jobs and learning how to physically endure like certain hard, because we've been on some really hard jobs.
Yeah.
Learning how to make that connection between mental frustration and physical exhaustion and still push through and see it to completion. Because him and I have this saying that we don't tap out. No job. Yeah. We've never tapped out on a job.
It's not worth it.
So, and he told me, he was like, so basically moving jobs help you make it through Marine Corps boot camp. He was like, yeah, I was like, wow, okay.
Well, so, you know, I think you've given him an upbringing that carries multiple different facets, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, these days, I mean, I come from a broken home.
Yeah.
My kids all come from broken homes. Mm-hmm. We're all doing pretty well.
Yeah.
I think you've given them some unique tools.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking about what you just said and I had to, I mean, just have a conversation with my son the other day about not bringing girls over to the house and making out with them while he has hickeys from the previous girl on his neck. Wow.
I'm just trying
before.
To get my son to bring some girls over.
I'm like, this is what I'm doing wrong as a parent. He's having these profound conversations. His children have learned these in-depth things. My son can't even figure out not to let a girl give him a hickey.
His breakthrough is coming.
Night. And honestly, and when it, not to make the conversation too serious, but I've had those conversations with my son too. I'm not going to reveal anything he's told me, but I will tell him that when he came of age to where I knew he was sexually active. I remember thinking that when I was a young man, I first had a boy, you know, when I first had him and I started imagining, you know, 19-year-old me, I can't wait till he's age. I'm going to tell him all this. You know, when he finally tell me, you know,
like how to have game,
you know, my immature 22-year-old mind was thinking like, yeah, I'm going to tell him how to get all the women and all this stuff.
Sure.
And now that he's that age and I'm 39, it's the only thing I felt was fear. Cause I was like, no, son, that's the quickest way to get an assault charge or something.
Yes.
Like you,
yeah.
The first thing I thought was,
yeah,
please don't do that.
Yeah.
Best case
steer
scenario,
clear.
You get someone pregnant and you end up living a life that I lived with unnecessary responsibility. I love you, but unnecessary responsibility, you know, worst case scenario, you choose the wrong young lady. And now she's saying something happened that didn't happen the way it did. And now you're fighting an unnecessary case.
You know, we live in different times.
Yeah,
we do.
You know,
but not saying that young ladies would do that. But it's just the fear that as a man that I had for him.
It's a risk that runs both ways. I will tell you.
That I, as a mom, have had with my son where we have to teach our kids how to protect themselves and protect other people. So the conversations I have are, you go to a party. If you see a girl who's drunk, your job then becomes to make sure that girl stays safe.
Yeah.
Never take it to a level with a girl who's been drinking any amount because you don't know, are they going to forget the next day? So like all of these fears we have as parents, and then we have to do the same thing. I have daughters. So then it's the opposite situation. Yeah. Don't put yourself in a position where you could be compromised, you know, stay safe, go in, you know, pairs.
There's like so many protocols.
Yeah. And when you think about it, he didn't even do anything that I didn't do. In fact, every story he's ever told me that he's done, I'm like, dude, I did way when I was your age. Like you were tame, but the fact that he's still so tame, but like just the fact that he's exploring that part of his life in any way scares the hell out of me.
Yeah,
and I wasn't expecting that when I was a much younger parent, you know?
So I'm dealing with the same things with a 17-year-old daughter. So, yeah. And she's a looker. She's a looker. Yeah. All these 40 and 50-year-old men are like, oh my gosh, who's that? She's 16. Now she's 17, but the truth is she likes to show her body. So, you know, those are things that she has to navigate moving forward in her life because they're going to look.
Yeah.
There's no avoiding it.
She should be able to.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. And she's incredibly smart and sophisticated and professional. So
I'm all for teach our sons not to touch them, not teach them to put on more clothes. You know, so I'm all for that. You know?
And that's true. Like you do that. But, you know, we're in this world where it's like this double-edged sword as a woman. Like you want to be able to say, I can dress how I want to dress. I want to be sexy. Even in the real estate industry,
You
see this with a lot.
It's
like
prevalent.
If I'm scrolling through and I see reels and I was like a real estate reel and I'm like, oh, she's very attractive. And then I click on her profile and she has 100,000 followers. And
we know
like,
why.
Her content is just her with her dog. And you're like, all right, they're not looking at that for the real estate content. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like,
without a doubt.
She's got her boobs out and she's showing a house. So it's like, do I need to do that?
I always wonder.
Am I going to do that?
You know, because there's a lot of people who can create a following on social media mm-hmm. just with their looks or interesting stuff. It doesn't even have to be just women. But then how well do they take that following and provide actual content?
Yeah.
Very few mm-hmm. do.
Yeah, that's like the most critical point mm-hmm. because you're absolutely right. Because I always... about what we were talking about earlier too, I always was like, I support it, you know, like you should be able to do both. You shouldn't live in a world where you either have to be, you know, the sexy Instagram model or the real estate agent.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that's the disconnect because it's rare that I see them find a way to make the two complicated.
Integrate.
Yeah,
like
if I saw a real estate agent dude with a Chippendale profile, and then
you'd he was like
also
that.
Trying to sell a house. I don't think I would. I'd be uncomfortable.
You'd like the profile, but you wouldn't engage him as a real estate agent.
I want the nerd.
Is he going to use the staircase as a pole?
With the thick glasses?
Sean Cahan. Yeah, you want him.
Members only jacket. And I want that because I know he or she studies real estate every waking hour.
Absolutely. Lives and breathes it. Yeah.
David lives and breathes real estate.
To some degree. To a detriment.
A little bit too suave.
Yeah. You know?
I'm not suave at all.
The truth is, I almost wore a coat. Yeah. Good thing I didn't. No, Ryan, you're one of my favorite people. So having you here has really, really meant a lot to me. And you got obviously a plethora of nitty gritty humanistic details you pull out of your career. Like we do, we see all of these crazy little intricacies and quirks. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to hear your side of the perspective.
Yeah. I mean, he sees probably... the neighborhood. We talked about this. Like when he's moving and he shows up with that movie truck, he's in the neighborhood before everybody else, before the people move in.
Yeah.
And they all want to know what's that like?
Yeah. They all probably ask you about the new owners and you may or may not even know them.
So one of the things that I've learned is that I don't have any obligation to do anything more than just be tactful. And in fact, some customers have taught me that they prefer it that way because not everybody is doing a move that's just a typical, hey, we got a better place to live. Mm-hmm. Some people are leaving abusive ex-partners. Some people were part of a very unwelcoming community.
Yeah.
And they don't want their neighbors to know where they're relocating to. So
absolutely discretion.
So for a variety of reasons now, whenever I show up to a place and neighbors try to probe me, because
that's the truth.
Let me tell you something. 21 years in the Marine Corps, I know when somebody's trying to probe me. Hey, how you doing today, buddy? You good? So you helping these guys move? Yeah, that's a nice truck you got.
Yeah, you're warming me up right now, aren't you? Yeah.
Your mama good? Yeah, you know, so I was like, and I'm just like,
and then they find out you're not giving up anything and they walk away.
Yeah, I'm like a Secret Service agent, you know, like move this way, ma'am, you know, so
yeah,
because it's not my business to tell.
No, you know? No. And honestly, that's the best service you could provide to your people, to your customers.
But
because
they will try, man. They will. When we talked on the phone about everyone wants to walk their dogs in front of the house. That the new people are moving into, like I can call it like clockwork. The moment move-in day happens, every neighbor in the community, every dog wants to take a shit right in front of that house. And they're just standing watching, and then another.
Well, it's the best vantage point.
And within 15 minutes, it's like a group of ladies across the street walking there, standing. They're not walking their dog. They're just standing, staring, and just whispering.
Would you refer to them as Karens? That word gets thrown around so loosely. Yeah.
Without a doubt. Like it's, that's what's another reason I don't like talking to them, because some of the questions they ask is so invasive and so awkward.
And rude.
Okay, this is the juicy part I've been waiting for.
I'll tell a story about this one. So it was a black couple, and it was, I call it like my George Jefferson moving on up story, right? Because like, it really made me feel good, because for one, I don't get many customers of color, and I don't get many customers who are young, because I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but I'm from a very black city, New Orleans.
Oh, yes.
I grew up in and around black people, and I've been many places around the country, but San Diego County doesn't have that many black people.
No.
All right. So it's actually very rare when I come across a black family. So this was a black family, and I was like, oh shit, hey, what's up? You know, Obama bump, you know what I mean? And then, and we move, and it's like a 2-bedroom apartment somewhere in Carlsbad. Very modest apartment, very modest neighborhood.
But it's in Carlsbad.
But yeah. And I think he worked in finance. And him, his wife, and their two young kids moved to this beautiful house in Oceanside. I can't remember the neighborhood, but it was somewhere like near the San Luis Rey gate of base.
Sure.
It was really nice.
Yeah, yeah. Arrowwood or something like that.
Uh-huh. Really nice, big ass house. And we're like unloading the truck, and I don't think we moved 2 pieces of furniture in. Just enough time for the truck to be noticed by neighbors and people start to grab. And this old white lady comes up, and she starts to say, hey, how you doing? Are you guys moving in? And like she asked,
you think they're going to be nice?
Are you guys moving in? Well, she asked, are you guys moving in? And my sarcastic ass wants to say like, oh, no, we're just doing a dry rehearsal for a movie. We're shooting.
You know, a movie, she would not have gotten that.
A movie about rude neighbors, you know what I mean? So, I didn't say anything. And then the guy, you know, she starts giving him like an orientation of the community. Mm. Not a welcoming, right. Because if I truly am a genuine neighbor and I want to make contact and say hi and let you know I'm 3 houses down on the right.
Come check me out when you got some time.
My name is Ryan, the white Dodge Ram 2500. Yeah, it's nice, huh? Hey, but if you ever guys want a beer, if you just want to say hi, if you need a tool, I get it. We're gonna stay out of your hair, but I just want to say hi and let you know where we are.
It's almost that's like sales. It's almost like Nordstrom.
Yeah.
Like they're gonna greet you, but they're not gonna breathe down your neck because that whole pressure vibe doesn't go over well.
It does. And this lady, she was in there. Shit. I mean, she was like, hey, and just so we don't like when dogs bark at this time, and don't park here.
So
make
rude.
Sure you don't have these because we don't like these types of flowers. I mean,
wow.
I'm surprised like, you didn't tell her to mind your business.
No.
If I had heard that, I would have said,
everything
mind your
in
business.
Me was, Malcolm X
home.
Was screaming inside of me, like by any means necessary. Yeah, like, yes, I was so upset at how rude this lady was.
Bet.
And I couldn't ignore the fact that part of me felt like she felt the need to give an extra stern lecturing to this new black family.
Of course.
That moved into this white space.
Yeah.
I couldn't help but feel like she doesn't give that same orientation to
hell no, you know, she doesn't.
Other neighbors who might move in.
But you kept it tactful, I imagine.
I didn't say anything.
They kept it tactful.
I didn't say anything.
You know, for me, honestly, that would be the hardest part. Being in your shoes and that kind of, I don't know that I could not say something.
He smiled. He was cordial. I think his wife was the more like, you know, she stayed back because I think she was
She was going to bark at her. Yeah.
She says one more rude thing.
Well, and quite honestly, I mean, this has been a few years. Yeah. How long has this been?
Probably about 2 years.
Yeah. So they've become pretty comfortable in that neighborhood, and I hope they've created some good friendships that overwhelm her overbearing white ass.
Yeah. I mean, how do you even, like, I hear that and it's just
it's
like,
everywhere.
I don't happens, even know what to say
it happens
it.
So much to varying degrees, and honestly, this what I'm about to say isn't really about race or Karens as it is more about communities who have this sense of community, whether they have a whore, in a lot of cases, whether there's no HOA. I say whore.
He's not saying whore. HOA. He's saying
sorry, HOA. For some reason, my brain sees whore, not HOA, but I mean HOA.
Perfectly acceptable terminology.
I don't have to explain to you what a HOA is. And I'm like, I know what a HOA is. Yeah.
But whether they have like an organized, you know, HOA or whether it's just an old, like a tight-knit community that's been there for generations. But I really resent this idea. I understand because at a certain point, you have the right to want to protect the integrity of your community. But this is the United States of America that I fought to, mm-hmm. to protect and defend.
That's right.
And anyone has the right to move into any community. And I understand that it might come as like an invasion to you, but this is a free country. And just like you once were a new person there, you have to respect other people who move into your community yeah. within the bounds of the law, not your personal opinions.
There's a reason why they did away with the CCNRs that had some really underhanded racist stuff in them.
CCNRs
are codes, covenants, and restrictions for a neighborhood. Basically, in San Diego, predominantly down south, actually, there's a district between.
I told you about one.
Yeah, the Midway district and Point Loma. There's a district right by the SLO where there were a bunch of recorded documents mm-hmm. about which races were allowed to live there. And so these are they're all still recorded. You can't unrecord a document, but it says at the beginning of the title report.
They had to amend it.
This is not enforceable. But it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Yeah.
Until we realize kind of what makes America really great, I think it's going to continue.
I think people need to mind their business. That's what I think.
Oh, yeah. If you're going to say some
your intentions are not something that's positive and welcoming and just basic human kindness, you need to stay in your house. You need to mind your business. Because I'll tell you what, if I hear you do something like that,
I'm going to say something.
I'm going to embarrass you. And I've done it before and I will do it again.
One
and
of
I don't
the many reasons I love
if
her.
You buy or sell a house with me because I stood up to you and told you that you were a piece of shit human being. So I'm just going to put that out there. So,
I think that we can be much more welcoming than we seem.
Yeah, I think it's really, 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 really important. I think it's also important to point out that a lot of these neighbors do it and they don't realize they're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's probably people who could be listening to this right now and they're like, hell yeah, yeah. People should mind their business, not realizing that they might have in fact done that unknowingly to someone in the past, you know? So
I think if we all pay better attention, we'll do better. As a society, and whether it's us paying attention to others or paying attention to ourselves, I think that we have a bigger obligation to be more welcoming.
Yeah. And just say hi. Just, you know, try to remember how it was when you moved in and just try to project that same, you know, experience onto them. You know?
I mean,
people like Ryan with respect that are doing the heavy lifting, like, because that's something that happens all the time too. People feel like they are entitled.
I'm sure they treat you like
rude to the people, like customer service. Like
most movers are not retired Marines who are ready or who do pretty well for themselves, right?
Sure.
Most people are not. Most movers I've worked with, unfortunately, are like convicts
They need the deal.
People make certain judgments about me thinking that like I must have took the wrong turn in life and that's how I ended up here. Not knowing that I have a secret clearance. Not knowing that you're a business owner and that you make a very good income doing
what you do.
But that's what it is you saw an industry that had a need and you saw an opportunity to fill that gap.
Yeah. That's what I enjoy doing.
And even if it was someone who is coming out of, it shouldn't matter. You know, they want to work hard. They want to support their family. They want to support themselves. It's about basic human decency.
It is decency and dignity. And, you know, Ryan, I'll be frank. I think that your business tact is top notch. I don't really think that many people practice like you do in any industry. And that's the reason why most business people struggle. Because they don't give a shit.
Yep.
Yeah, what I've seen a lot of people, and I'll give a bit of advice to your customers. So the niche that I feel is the small moves. I've done many big moves before, but most of the moves that I do is usually stuff that could fit in one load in the bed of a pickup truck. So if you buy a sofa or if you just want to move one room.
So more of the hauling.
Yeah, and I do a lot of junk hauling, right? So a lot of my customers are people who originally called, you know, they got to the Yellow Pages, if they still have those, or Google, and they saw, you know, like professional moving company, and they went to the website and they scheduled this person, and they didn't realize that when the receptionist took the job and scheduled it, the receptionist was like, oh, this is only going to be a $500 or $600 job. This is really small. We're going to schedule it in case we don't get anything bigger that day.
But not prioritize.
What happens is they will get something bigger between now and the 2 weeks that they scheduled you out. What's going to happen is they're either best case scenario, they're going to cancel on you last minute. And then you're going to call me with an emergency move. And I'm going to fulfill that need for you for a fraction of the cost that they were going to charge you anyway had they showed up. Or they're going to no-show you and the same thing is going to happen.
I've heard about these no-shows.
Yeah, it happens David, it happens so
I mean, can you imagine
much.
All the logistics of getting your move ready and then...
Some of these moving companies that are out here are actually really sad in how they do people. They will schedule the job and then even confirm with the person the evening before and just not show up, not answer the phone. And I have people call me crying saying they just wouldn't show up. And so, yeah.
Trust. It all goes back to trust, right? Yeah. Like if you trust these people to show up and then they don't, better not trust them again.
Yeah.
But people don't move that much in their life. So.
So if someone has this need, I mean, rather than wait to the last minute and have an emergency situation, you know, how can they meet with you? What does that process look like? How can they get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me probably for the next few months. And I say that because I can't do this forever. And the goal is law school. So I'm going to be returning back to school in the spring. So at least for the rest of this year, and I'm definitely willing to work until I say I'm not doing this anymore. But my number is 760-716-0629. I don't have any social media related to moving.
He's text
like
friendly,
that.
Though.
Training best someone. Thing. Or, you know, bringing people in.
I would love to.
Maybe if there's someone out there who's interested in working.
I would love to have someone whom I can train and make maybe leaving go license and just be the business owner and have like someone who I pay very well to work for me. I will say this though. I have a very tight code of principles and ethics that I do everything in my life by.
It's obvious.
And anyone who chooses to like learn anything from me, they have to do it with the understanding that I'm going to hold myself and the person that I'm teaching very accountable and to a standard that I'm satisfied with. So it won't be easy, but it'll be worth it in the end. I'll say that.
I mean, I see the makings of a full career. You know, this could be the launch for a moving business that the truth is...
Maybe it starts here.
The top reputable moving businesses aren't that reputable.
No, they're not.
Yeah. I wouldn't hire any of them. To be honest, maybe there's one that's based in Arizona that I really like and I wish they were local because I would refer them more business. But I've tried to work with businesses in San Diego County. And at the end of the day, this is the only thing that matters.
You know what's funny is California has this reputation for business being a little fly by night and not showing up on time or not doing this stuff. I feel like it doesn't really exist that much in other places.
Yeah. California is a different beast all around.
Yes.
It's just a different, I think there's a lot of variety of reasons why something like the moving industry is different here.
Sure.
Where it's not the same in any
other. Well, they don't have much weather to deal with here.
Mentality. We have the weather. I think we're kind of, a lot of us are pretty lazy because we don't have to deal with a lot of the things that other states have to deal with. It's like we're this melting pot that gives you gas.
Yeah. And I also think that California has this unique pool of like undocumented workers that allows a lot of these companies to operate that they do the way that they do.
Take advantage the way they do.
Maybe Texas too, but it's
the truth.
It's like we're right here, you know. And I've seen that in like how some companies do business. Like there's this thing now. It's crazy. I've gotten scammed. How much time do we have? Because I don't want to keep talking.
We're good. We can keep going as long as people will listen.
As long as you got time, we got time.
Because I just have to be in a virtual TBI thing with a doctor. So it's not like I have to drive.
See, that's
so
what happens. He retired and now he cares about his health.
Yeah. Now I care. But what was I talking? What were we talking about? This is the TBI.
We were talking about the movers who hire undocumented.
Oh, so now what they do is that they, so an actual like licensed professional and some moving companies who actually have contracts with the DOD, like as an active duty Marine has been hired to go on base and help unload a huge like allied truck.
A government contract.
A government contracted household goods, semi tractor trailer. They don't know that I'm an active duty Marine who works on his base. They think I'm just like some dude that just.
Oh, they hired you from somewhere
else?
They
hired me from like from my ads, not knowing that I actually work right around the corner, bro.
it's my backyard.
And so they don't know that like I know what they're doing is probably wrong, like illegal, but definitely unethical. Because you're charging the federal government
for a private
tens of thousands of dollars mm-hmm. to execute this move under the understanding that you're going to have like employees, yes. not contractors or just people from Home Depot, but you're going to have employees who have been trained to a certain standard, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know that they got lucky with me because I am who I am.
Yeah.
So that particular family got quality movement, at least from the unload perspective of their stuff. But they don't know. But what they do charge these guys is the going rate is $200 a day anywhere else in the nation. And it's like $250 or $225 in Southern California because things are a little bit higher. I don't know what it is in New York. So that means for a typical 8-hour workday, no matter how hard the day is, no matter what goes on, your labor gets paid. So you can hire three guys for $600 a day and unload 20,000 pounds from a semi-tractor trailer. The government paid you $36,000 to execute that whole move, and you've only paid a combined total of maybe $3,000 in labor between both places. Oh. And when really that budget, you probably, when you presented your proposal and your bids to get the contract from the government and the business plan, you showed them, probably said that you would pay your movers, I don't know, $16 an hour. Or something sure. Like that. So that wow. type of stuff is actually happening.
Of course it is.
And I think it's happening here in California with a lot of the local companies, because that would explain why I see what I see when I'm actually on the ground working next to these
sure.
people.
Sure. Wow.
And I'm trying to like carry, you know, I'm trying to carry something, an armoire with a guy. And he doesn't even, not that, you know, that's an issue personally, but in this work environment, he doesn't even speak English. We can't communicate. And I'm realizing, oh, I see what's going on here.
It's not skilled labor.
It's not skilled labor. Yeah. Like they're just like hiring some guy from a park.
The moving industry is probably ripe for unskilled labor. Yeah. Right. And that's probably a big liability thing. But
if you like getting your stuff broken, is ripe for it. But if you like your stuff to be taken care of, I don't think it is. I think they're just trying to.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah. They're trying to save money.
They're trying to save money. So,
all right. Well, you know, the truth is saving money is great, but I think losing your belongings, whether they're valuable or not, maybe they got some memories or just the stress.
Yeah.
Honestly, the stress of a botched move is probably hard to recover.
I learned my lesson, and I'll always recommend my clients that they hire a professional. And if you're still in the business, or if you're training people to be in the business and you're just going to be the owner, I would be referring to
you. We love the accountability side. That's what we try to push and promote no matter what industry. We love real estate, but it's got the crazy stories.
Crazy stories.
Ryan, it's been a pleasure, man. We really appreciate you coming on.
You guys, thank you.
Enjoy your week.
I will. I'm about to go get my brain checked out.
Seems like it's working all right.
Yeah. Like it seems like it's working great.
Until next time, real estate is crazy.
Bye.